Hi, Chief Halton here at Fire Engineering Podcasts, and we are being brought to you by Tenkata Protective Fabrics and their Made for Life podcast hosted by Stuart Perry. The Made for Life podcast unearths the work experiences of real men and women who rely on the protective clothing and equipment to get the job done. From firefighters to industrial workers to military personnel, recent episodes explore the dangers and challenges of wildland firefighting, peer counseling for first responders, and the ins and outs of turnout gear. It's the Made for Life podcast from Tenkata Fabrics. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for listening to Fire Engineering.
Hello, rescuers, and welcome to June's edition of Extrication Radio. I'm your host, Dave Dalrymple, your festive car slaying individual. And today's episode, we're going to talk about a class that I just finished wrapping up. And that was Rally Ops, the SFI edition. But I can go a little bit more into that in a second. But I wanted to, first off, take care of some different topics and stuff like that. Boy, I have to tell you, it is great getting back into in-person teaching once again, now that COVID's kind of on the retreat a bit. Still have to do the Zoom thing to a certain extent. That's still around us. And that's okay. You know, I think that has helped us out in a lot of different ways. It's brought forth new technologies in the realm of reach, dynamic reach, for reaching students farther away. One of the things that I was able to do in December was to deliver a program on the electrification of rally and today's trends on personal protective envelope for motorsports responders to Motorsports UK and Scottish Motorsport Marshals Clubs in December, like I said. And I was able to do that through Zoom from my home office here in New Jersey, and it was like being there with them, and there was quite a number of people that was in attendance. I want to say it was a couple hundred people, and it was great. It was great fun, and a lot of, you know, one of the things that has brought forth the ability to do better remote presentations has been COVID. So in certain ways, COVID has helped us out with remote learning. So we can't complain about that. But remote learning, you can only do so much. And hands-on, there is no substitute for hands-on. And this past weekend, one of the programs that I have myself developed was in conjunction with, originally, with Tim O'Neill Team O'Neill Rally School up in Dalton, New Hampshire, back in 2013. We sat down and put together an educational program for emergency responders that work performance rally. And those of you that don't know what performance rally is, if you're familiar with those of you that have played Colin McRae rally or Colin McRae or WRC or all the different formats of off-road rally on your Xbox or your PlayStation or Nintendo Wii or Switch, or all the other different games that are out there on the market, or watched it on television, Performance Rally is basically a street chassis vehicle with safety equipment, obviously cage, roll cage, racing seats, harnesses, fire suppression systems, and such like that. And the cars transit over normal roads to prepared, closed sections of roadway where the cars race at speed, following the directions of a co-driver or navigator to give directions basically, not literally blindly, but blindly to the driver. The driver drives at speed following the directions from the co-driver. So that's rally. And they have a series of stages over a certain amount of days, and it's a time distance stage type of event. That's how it basically works. Now, even though these vehicles are stock-bodied vehicles with safety systems, there's no safety systems in them, but they have safety equipment like roll cages and such like that. There's other equipment and race equipment and such like that that the normal street responders have to be aware of coming upon this, because even though they have license plates, they have registration stickers and all that kind of stuff, they are very much race vehicles all unto themselves. So that's why there's the need for having a separate educational type programs. And what we've done with the SFI Foundation is develop a tiered approach for educational training for rally and for rally responders. As part of the whole rally package, there is a group of vehicles that follow up each of these prepared stages to move or remove vehicles that have gone off course, because all these rallies, at least here in North America, all run off-road areas. So mostly forest fire roads or logging roads or gravel roads that are often away from normal traffic. These vehicles need to be pulled out to be removed from even normal type of towing. So there's a group of vehicles called Sweep that follow each stage of the rally to help the drivers and co-drivers that have gone off course. So Sweep is actually considered part of the emergency response package as well. Now, so the normal type of crash considerations, you know, fire and extrication and medical considerations are all normally taught, just like in a normal type of vehicle rescue class. But because of how the seats are, racing seats are set up, they help basically cocoon the driver and co-driver, and kind of to kind of cut down on lingo, we'll just say the crew in the vehicle. These seats are made so to cut down on injuries, they're very form-fitting. Well, that's great when you can get in and out under your own power. But when you get injured and you can't do that, it makes it very difficult to get the person back out again. And unfortunately for us, then, to turn around and try and get some of these people out, especially if we need to extricate them, it becomes difficult. And especially if they are injured or the vehicle is damaged in certain ways where we lack space to get them out, it becomes even more difficult than that. Because not only do we need to make the appropriate space where we need to create room for us to work in and room for to remove them, we actually have to create space in the seat itself to get the extrication device. And usually when we talk about extrication devices, most people immediately identify with using a KED or a KED or the format of a KED for that. And in all reality, even though in some places of the world that is their go-to device regardless of what it is, whether it's a street incident or a motorsports incident, there are much better devices than a KED to do this with. For example, a speed board, a Ferno XT, a spoon board, an MED board, which is a close cousin to a spoon board, but it's set up better. And this is from the Canadian Motorsports Rescue Team people that market it. Even devices from Yates that have developed a device off of the LSP halfback device. These are all devices that actually will work better, especially in a racing seat that is cocooning the driver. And depending on what space we're talking about, we might need to even remove parts of that seat to get that person out. Some of the seats are called halo device seats, where the top of the seat actually extends forward and surrounds the driver's helmet, and that's further to ensure that the driver doesn't get injured and to cocoon the driver even more so. It makes things much more difficult. And that includes also the vehicle itself. So this is all the reason why we needed to have a specialty class just for this. And granted, it's a niche type of environment with niche type of educational requirements, but it really needed to come forth. And especially now with the electrification of motorsports in all the different venues, from top tier, you know, Formula One has had the KERS system since 2009 with the kinetic energy recovery system, to today where pretty much all top of the line motorsports has some sort of electric devices in their drivetrain to either enhance the performance, to kinetically recover energy, or to do both, are part of that drivetrain features. Rally is no different. World Rally Championship next year is going to see a mild hybrid system brought forth, where it's a basic 100 kilowatt per hour drivetrain assist system that's going to be basically across the board for all teams, identical. It's going to be set up. Those we'll see passed down into lower classes in concurrent years after next year, that we'll see in other areas. Now, will this be an extrication problem? Probably not. I highly doubt it'll be an extrication problem. But with any type of the electric systems that are out there for in the drivetrain, it'll be more of a firematic issue than anything else. Just like any of the EVs or hybrid systems that are out there today on the road, where we see them in street incidents, where they have become firematic concerns. And all you have to look to is look at the notoriety in the news of different types of crashes of vehicles like Teslas and such like that, whether it be concerns about their autopilot system or the fact that it takes so much water to put them out, when it's not, in many ways, it's very unfair that Tesla gets picked upon when it's actually really, it's an inherent problem across the board with all EVs, with electric vehicles, because of the fact that they use a lithium power cell in their high voltage battery pack across the board, whether it's a Tesla, whether it's a commercial vehicle, whether it's a smaller vehicle, it doesn't matter. It's across the board for all electric vehicles, because electric vehicles have a tendency to use the same type of power cell, lithium power cells. It's an inherent issue with the fact of that particular battery style. We see different types of batteries with hybrids because the demand for performance is not as great for hybrids, so they can use nickel metal hydride or NiCad batteries with lesser performance demands that are put upon the batteries. So it's not an issue. So they're used. You don't see electric vehicles using either one of those battery types because of the simple fact that the performance demands those batteries cannot meet. They need to use lithium power cells. Now, down the road, there'll be other lithium power cells that have, for example, solid-state lithium batteries. They're coming, where the issues of with the different firematic issues of thermal runaway, or not only solid-state, but also have fire suppression built into the individual power cell. Those type of power cells are out there. They're brandy new, but we're not going to see those in commercial applications for probably another 3 to 5 years because of being brand new within the last 3 months. It takes time for all this type of technology to gestate before we even see it in a commercial application, let alone just being it's a prototype type of example. So it's important to bring up responders' knowledge for batteries and what hybrid or electric vehicle systems they might encounter, whether it's on the race course or in this particular example, a rally. Excuse me. That, for example, here in North America right now, Toyota has a factory, quote-unquote, Toyota Prius, that's all-wheel drive, that they campaigned last year at the Olympia Rally as a one-off type of event to showcase their technology. Supposedly, it will be seen in other events this year, though. So far, it has not been seen. Excuse me. So we're looking to possibly see it. We've seen other hybrids in the past at different times for short instances, and it's mainly because of the technology end of things makes it complicated, and reliability. You know, rally needs to be reliable, because the vehicles take quite a bit of abuse and damage by the nature of the event. And unfortunately, hybrids and electric vehicles are very susceptible to damage, and they don't like that kind of abuse. So we shall see. So, besides the fact of these programs, you know, one of the things that SFI has brought forth with doing these programs is to bring an educational component to the grassroots level type of motorsports, where programs like this you would only see, again, at the top end, the top tier of motorsports, whereas there's much, much more racing done at the grassroots end. And the grassroots end, unfortunately, relies upon the local ambulance and fire service for many times for coverage. And the people that they get for covering these events are the local firefighters and EMTs. And they're bringing their skills and knowledge from street events with very little motorsports background. They might be fans, so they have a little bit of motorsports knowledge, but not so much knowledge of the vehicles themselves, and what's the difference of, so to speak, of what care is involved. To be sure, you know, that's one of the big things, and that's what SFI has done over the past 20 years, has been having an incident response program available for drag racing, for short tracks, for offshore powerboats, now for rally, that I've brought forth for them that they have accredited. And the rally series is going to be a tiered approach where we're looking to do on a marshals level, an operations level for sweep and emergency services, and then a train-the-trainer type of arrangement for instructors to teach all these different programs. You know, that's the idea, to have it, to have such a program. That's one of the things that, believe it or not, we watch television programs and we watch all these different responders do things at motorsports events. And a lot of these different events, it's really responders are learning these skills and knowledge. And it's kind of an on the job, so to speak, many times. There's not a turnkey and go type of educational program. And unfortunately, there really needs to be. There's a lot to be learned today with all the different technological type of issues and concerns with the vehicles, with the different types of materials and construction and motive power and the fuels and all the different things that go about, but also different types of things that we run into today that apply from, that have reach over from the street. Things like decontamination, things like mass care incidents with spectators and such like that. There's a lot of different things that we ourselves need to manage and deal with today that have applications in the racing environment that are not necessarily always thought of forefront, especially by the venue operators. And a lot of times, it's sad to say, but the venue operators are looking out for themselves and job one. They're looking out for money. And the insurance liability kind of rules as well. So these are lots of different things. Also, a lot of the different types of equipment for this are, yes, they're street equipment that you will be familiar with, that's your everyday vehicle extrication or your vehicle accident you would see. But there's also specialty devices that are out there, like the eject system for taking off helmets. Many times we've seen these now on motorcycle helmets where that system is built into the helmet itself. That's great. We see that with race helmets too, but there's actually a kit for emergency services to take helmets off with. I introduced it when I was working EMS at my EMS job before I left there. I showed it to trauma services, and they fell in love with it. In fact, they use it to take off any helmet that they run into, whether it's a football helmet, a bicycle helmet, whichever, because they felt it was the least invasive way of removing a helmet from someone's head. They thought it was great, and it truly is. It's a very simple, straightforward type of system that puts the least amount of pressure and injury to someone's head to remove a helmet safely, correctly, and quickly. That's one of the set piece devices that are in the class. Also, the different type of extrication devices out of a racing seat. One of those devices is not a KED. A KED is the least used type of device because it just is ineffective. The three devices that we basically stick with in this rally class and in all the motorsport classes that I'm aware of is a speedboard, a Furno XT, which is a specialty device, a spoon type of board, which is a curve type of board, an extrication device with straps, and one of the new devices that I recently have seen is a Yates device that is akin to an LSP halfback vest device that looks pretty good as well. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to use it in a racing seat environment yet, but I intend to as soon as I can get my hands on one to give it a try. And those of you that haven't tried to get somebody out of a racing seat, well, imagine a seat in cars today, and I know that seats have changed radically in cars. You don't have bench seats anymore. Every front seat is a bucket seat. Many of the sports cars today have Recaro seats or seats much like a Recaro seat, where it's an orthopedic ergodynamic type of seat where it's very tight fitting and close fitting. Those are the type of seats. Imagine that, and imagine it more so on steroids, and there you have a racing seat where it basically confines and cocoons the driver or co-driver in a rally instance from moving around, even with or without their belts on. It's made to hold them into the seat structure itself. So, I mean, that's what cuts down on their injuries. That's the whole idea behind it. And that's important. That's really important. So, that's all part of this, rally ops program, is 2 days of about, on the first day, there's 5 hours of lecture. There is followed up with about 3.5 hours of show and tell of equipment demonstrations and hands-on with the new type of equipment and equipment familiarization that uses up the first day of class. The second day is 4 stations of rescue, fire suppression, patient management, and extrication and removal, and situational awareness of being out on a rally stage. Also in that first day is also orientation to rally cars and rally stages, what happens on a rally stage. The second half of the second day is practical scenarios for the students, for them to go through. That is their testing how well they've integrated both what they've learned in the classroom, what they've learned on their hands-on skill orientations, and being able to put it together teamwork-wise and their skill applications, what they've been able to assemble and sort out in their head and work together as a team for their practical scenarios. Because in all reality, just like anything else as adults, it's all about learning as adults. Is that's the best way to learn, by doing it, showing how you can do it, and solving problems. That's the best way to learn. So, this one, for this month, is going to be a quickie, and I'll wrap up right now. Next month, towards the end of July, we'll have another episode of Extrication Radio. So, we'll take it from there. Any suggestions or ideas that you have for me for the next episode, please drop me an email, carslayer@roadwayrescue.com, or my phone email is roadwayrescue@gmail.com, or you can send it through Fire Engineering, and Pete Perculio will make sure that I get a hold of it. Any comments or feedback on any of the Extrication Radio shows, please send it through. Those of you that are going to FDIC, I'll be doing an Extrication Radio show there. So look me up. I'll be doing an author signing there for the DVD series, as usual. And I'll be doing a presentation as well on technology concerns at any of vehicle incidents out on our highways. So kind of a operational sense of what's going on with technology concerns. So whether it's a motor vehicle crash, whether it's a vehicle fire, even medical emergencies in vehicles today, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Kind of a wide paintbrush type of look at things as a whole, and not necessarily just complaining about or looking at hazards and concerns, but also how to solve those problems. So, with that, be safe out there, and I'll talk to you soon again. Thank you.